inevitably, as Purim passes, Pesach is suddenly on the horizon, very quickly. So, I wanted to speak a little bit about Pesach. And to define some of the things that we do on Yom Tov, or we do in preparation for Yom Tov. Tonight's share is principally to discuss Bittul Chametz, a little bit Bedikas Chametz, not much, a little bit, and very much Mechiras Chametz. Now, Pesach is unusual among the Yom Tovim that not only do we have Yisurei Achila, those things which we can't eat on Pesach, which we normally eat, but we have an unusual dimension that we may not even possess that which we can't eat chametz. And although the macholas asuras, it's true, there's Yisur, derais according to many, and certainly Osir, to do business with non-kosher food. But there's no Yisur in owning it. If, for example, a non-Jew would owe me money, and he's in the non-kosher food business, so as and he goes into receivership, so I can take possession of his warehouse and sell it to pay my debt. Yeah, there's no Easter in doing that. So there's no Easter in possessing Macholos Asuras. Chometz is unique that it's also to possess it. Some question why. Why is it, in fact, that we have this insistence in not having chametz? I mean, is it easier to rise it, to possess it? But we not, in all ways, not even to have it around, even if I don't own it, I still can't have it around. The non-Jew's chametz also can't be around my house. So the Tosis explores the possibilities surrounding it, and that chametz is in its own way much more likely that I'm going to eat than any other macholos asuras. Why is that? Well, chametz, first of all, is permissible throughout the year. All of the macholos asuras are always awesome. Secondly, it is also a day. Why is it different than Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur also has all types of macholos asuras. They're also for one day. You could perhaps give other terutz and Taisus gives to the kasher, but Taisus says that on Yom Kippur we don't eat at all. Since we don't eat at all, I'm not likely to pick up the wrong thing to eat because my mindset is not to eat on Yom Kippur. Whereas on Pesach I have a mindset to eat. The samachta v'chagecha, to the contrary, is the Easter to have a tainus Pesach. So, if I'm in the midst of eating, and just imagine that midoraisa, I fulfilled the law, I sold all my chametz to a non-Jew, so I don't own any chametz. And on one half of the table I have matzah, and on the other half I have the guy's chametz. It's on the other half of the table. Right? And if not going to be the problem, good, I sold him that half of the table, so it's not even in my rishus. So imagine, here I am, till this line I'm eating matzah. The other half of this table, that's chametz on it. With the rice, that's fine. That half of the table is sold to the good. Absolutely not mine. Chametz is his, the table is his. His part is mine. Now, imagine exactly how much of Yontif, what would Yontif would look like if we went about Yontif in such fashion. I mean, we would have mice and mecholya, and people would come into shul in the morning and say, oh yeah, I picked up the chametz, the kebagel, and ate it today. You know, I forgot halfway through that it's Pesach today. You know, after the first day or two, along with the excitement starts to wear off a little bit, people would forget about it. So, Chazal distanced us from the possibility of eating chametz, as he says. Possessing chametz altogether, it doesn't tell us exactly why it's awesome. We have really two possibilities. Ki kol oichel chametz v'nichrus, the Torah says. Tashpiz yisrael mivoteichem, ki kol oichel chametz v'nichrus. So, in yeshivish parlance, we can ask ourselves, is ki kol oichel chametz, is that the cause, the sibah? Don't possess chametz, because if you possess chametz, there's a good chance you may come to eat chametz. That's how to read the pasuk. Or no? It is merely, as we say, an indicator, a simon. Just as the Torah was very machmer about chametz, that achilas chametz is unusual. How many surah achila have chorus to them? Similarly, the Torah said that you can't possess it, but not that one is the cause of the other. Now we could learn, if we assume the latter way, it's very interesting. Ramei Simcha cites Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi to me is a very fundamental aspect of Pesach, and it gives perspective on a lot of what takes place, and we find that it's parallel to the words of the Rambam and the Maharal of Yerushalmi too. Ramei Simcha cites Yerushalmi, which indicates that Chametz was a part of the order of worship of the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. How and why exactly, our Svarim don't usually get into all the details. They're not a primer on how to worship Avodah Zarah. So we don't get into all the gruesome details of it. But Yerushalmi says that Chometz was a necessary component of the worship of the Avodah Zarah. We find in Chumash Vayikra, the Pasuk states, Ki chol so'ir v'chol dvash lo yisaktirum menu isha l'Hashem. Sa'ar means any chametz. Dvash means that which is derived from fruits. Lo saktiru memenu isha l'Hashem. And the Ramban in the Spirit of Chumash cites the Ramban in the Mar Neruchim. And the Ramban writes that the reason for this is Surah, because chametz and dvash were used in the worship of Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Karbonos gave us mitzvahs Karbonos to steer us away from Avodah Zarah. So therefore, the heathen practices which involved chometz and vash, the Rabbeinu Shalom banned for us, so that we should not parallel in our kabbonos in the Mikdash the Avodah Zarah. So both the Rabbeinu Simcha citing Yerushalmi and the Rambam and the Masechet Amora connect chometz to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. And from that regard, we begin to understand the Yisra Ba'yiro Ba'yimotzi in a different light. We have by Avodah Zarah Shak is the Shakten of Saib to Saben of Kherim, a person may not possess an Avodah Zarah. So, this is really, it's an extension of Avodah Zarah. It is very, very parallel and very appropriate. That since this is a part and parcel of that Avodah Zarah, so therefore, the Rabbeinu Shalom wants us to be totally distanced from it. We shouldn't even possess Chametz, because this is part of the paraphernalia used in the Avodah Zarah. Pesach, the Korban Pesach, was to propel us away from Avodah Zarah. Rashi, in one of his interpretations in the Chumash, for the first day of Pesach, writes, Mishchu k'chulochan tzoyin b'shachat ha'pasach, Mishchu yideichem in Avodah Zarah. Draw yourselves away from Avodah Zarah, u'chulochan tzoyin b'shachat ha'pasach, and instead, involve yourself in Avodah Zarah. And what was the Korban Pesach? Korban Pesach was a sheep. For what reason? Because this was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. This was not, this is very important to understand, this was not to mock Mitzrayim, and this was not to spite Mitzrayim. And the Rebbeinu Shalom was very far from such things. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted that we should free ourselves of the Avodah Zarah. When we traverse the Yam Suf, what did the Malach HaShoreis proclaim? Halolu Avdi Avodah Zarah, Halolu Avdi Avodah Zarah. Where are we distinguished from the Mitzvah? Consequently, what does the Rebbeinu Shalom have us do? We take the deity of Mitzrayim. That's the Korban Pesach. So the absence of chametz, and interesting, And you see how well this ties in. We have another Isra in Chometz. The Sishchat al Chometz Dam Zivchi. When we shech the Korban Pesach, you may not possess Chometz. The Sishchat al Chometz Dam Zivchi. So the Torah specifically ties the Isra of possessing Chometz with the Sishchat al Chometz Dam Zivchi to the Shechit of the Korban Pesach. If you derail it, that's exactly the Nekuda. As the Rambam wrote in Sefer HaMorah, the Rosh Hashanah wishes that we should distance ourselves from the Avodah Zarah. So what does the Rabbeinu Shalom do? He tells us that over Avodah Zarah would use Chometz now. And therefore, when you come to the Korban Pesach, forget using Chometz. Don't even possess a piece of Chometz. You're so removed from Chometz, it's totally out of your sphere. This is to cast aside the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim. So this Chometz, when we view through that lens, takes on a very different dimension. We understand the context of Bayura Bayimotzah that's parallel to Avodah Zarah, but I cannot possess Avodah Zarah. We understand the Sishchat al Chometz Dam Zivchi. We understand then why we don't possess Chometz at all.
Why wouldn't you say to distance ourselves from Chometz until the Kabbalah is over? Why do they think?
Chometz is ultimately the staple of life. And that's probably, if you ask my speculation, that's probably why it was used as part of the Avodah Zarah. Because that's what you live on. So, we have this parallel notion to that. What is our notion? It's parallel to Havdah with the Lechem upon it. Mora says in Baba Basra that a reitz lahachim yadim, a reitz lahashir yatsim. The simon ledover, or a zeichel ledover, the loshen of the Gemara, sha shulchan b'tzofu, v'amen av hasha menoyer b'dorah, va shulchan b'tzofu. The menorah represents the radiance of the light of Torah. And therefore, if one wishes to become wise in Torah, one should face Mizrach and tilt slightly towards the side of the Mikdash that has the menorah. One who wishes to become wealthy should face himself towards the Lechem Aponim. Because the Lechem Aponim there is the place through which the Bracha for Parnassah comes. So they obviously would seem to have similar notions.
But they weren't Chometz.
Right. Lechem Aponim were not Chometz, yes. Mm. But, the notion of chitin, of using, grain. But that would be part and parcel of it, perhaps, what a Lechem Aponim is also. There's no Chometz in the Mikdash.
Except the carbon tongue.
The carbon, again, that was not Nikra when it was Beach.
But it was brought together with the carbon.
It was not. You didn't bring it on the Mizbeach. It was not Nikrov, and you have Shtei Alechem on Shavuos, which was also not Nikrov, which was not brought on the Mizbeach.
Was the no Avodah Zarah used carbonos of animals? Used sacrifice?
Yeah, that's as ancient as the world.
So why are we doing that? If we want to distance ourselves from Avodah Zarah, not even use the Chometz,
So the answer, I believe, lies in the fact that you have to know how deeply something is in the human psyche. And the Karbonos was so deep for two things. First of all, Karbonos predated Avodah Zarah before the Mauritian. So that's, in and of itself, we should not ban that which was part of the Avodah of people before, where this already ever existed in the world, as also the other Mauritian brought Karbonos. And the second thing could very well be part of what the Mitzvah Satara did was to take certain of our energies and channel them toward the Rabbeinu Shalom. Karbonos, we do not understand the human need for Karbonos and its expression in our way these are. From Chazal, my Talmidim asked me about this the other day. From Chazal, it would seem, from the parallels that Chazal make to it, that man has an innate need to express himself in connection to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And that could mean, really, what the sacrifice, what the Ranshe Knesset had done. The Gemara tells us that they saw that the world was overwhelmed with two passions. Right? The passion for women and the passion for Avodah Zarah. And Ranshe Knesset Gadol were mispalel that they should be removed from the world in the form in which they afflict us. And biology ceased to function in the absence of man's passion. So that had to be restored. The world couldn't exist. But the passion for Avodah Zarah lapsed. Now it's interesting, when does Avodah Zarah fade out by Klal Yisrael? In the second bias, we find much less manifestation. And the first bias all the way until the end, we're already there with the Zohar. In bias Sheni, that's not the big affliction of Klal Yisrael, the Zohar. And we fight to the contrary. We fight against Yovan, we fight the external forces that wish to impose over the Zohar upon us. But in bias Sheni, that's no longer the big issue, Avodah the Zohar. Anshek Nesag, the other one was power to remove the Yates of Avodah the Zohar. Famous Gemara, I believe it's of Ashi, who criticized the Rashir Menashe, the grandson of Chizkiyah HaMelech. And, you know, he ranked him to the floor. You know, here he is, he run to worship Avodah Zarah. So he went to sleep that night, and Menashe came to him in a dream. And he tells him, he says, don't be so wise. If you, with everything that you are, you lived in my time, you would have chased after me to worship the Avodah Zarah. From the parallels that Chazal make, it would seem that man has an innate need to connect with something larger than himself. And it could even be that that's part really of the problem that we face. It could be that the Tefillah of Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, really what it affected was that we have less of an innate need to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, that's the reason that we don't seek Avodah Zarah. Not perhaps because of our milah, but to the contrary, because we are lessened, because we don't chase the Ribbono Shel Olam as strongly. When a person needs to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam and he doesn't connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, for whatever reason, he feels himself too low, too distant, too removed from the Ribbono Shel Olam, so Avodah Zarah becomes a natural expression. If man feels he has to connect with something greater than himself. And that's why the entire cycle of the Bayis Rishon is intertwined with Avodah Zarah. It never ends. Beit Sefer Shoftim, and that's the pattern of the whole Bayis Sefer Melachim. This possesses Klal Yisrael. Eliyahu Novi and Har HaKarmel is fighting the Avodah Zarah of Bab. It's made an innate need, it would seem, to connect with the spiritual forces of the world. So if he connected with the Ribbono Shel Olam, fine. And if he didn't connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he saw different connections. So that could also be that the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's a need that the human being has, and the Ribbono Shel Olam channeled it through Karbonos, that we should find expression in that connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because man cannot tolerate a vacuum innately in this area. So, Pesach was to free us from Avodah Zarah and bring us to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this is the notion, perhaps, of the Isa Bayirah Bayimotze. Now, how exactly we go about we have Bittul Chametz? What exactly is Bittul Chametz? One notion of Bittul Chametz is simple. It's a classic concept in Hilchos Momonos. Comes drawn straight out of the playbook of Chesed Nishmat. And that is Tefker. Tosfos learns that way, the Ran learns that way. Tefker, it's all finished. Mafker, I don't own it anymore. I can renounce ownership of anything that I want in this world. There are upon placed restrictions, it has to be in front of three people. So no, there are upon remove the restrictions for the sake of Ayurah, Bayavatse, Zukma Adina. That's one simple way to learn it. What? Bayurah is we are not literalists. Let me shock you. and don't tell your wife, because she'll decide you're certainly a Shegetz. and if you blame the Rav, you certainly didn't even, you must have slept through the Shegetz, because the Rav couldn't have said that, you know. So I want to help you to play me. I mean, dinner. I'm not telling you it's na'im to do so, but dinner, you could take the challah, put it in the china closet, tie the china closet closed and put a sign chametz on it, and sell that to the guy, and that's all, and leave it there the whole Pesach. Not exactly na'im, but mutter, 100% mutter, al kedin. By your own, by your mutz, it does not imply visibility, it implies ownership, that's all. Now, I'm not suggesting that you go do it, but if you want to know, bottom line, that which the halacha demands of us, that's all.
People
cover the china closet without the clothing. Yeah. You don't need to close it. It might be a wise idea to tie it closed.
Tie closed.
So make sure you don't need
to.
Because Chazal say you should be careful to put away the chametz to kekelim, but to use the chametz to kekelim. What is wise to listen to the words of Chazal. Erev Yontif Sheni Shal Pesach, Erev the seventh day of Pesach, at a Shaila a few years ago. What happened was, someone realized after cooking all the food for the last 2 days Yontif, that they had used one of the chametz to kekelim. Not in cooking, but in preparing certain things. So it was a whole Shaila on there, whatever. So I went over with them what the kele kli was, what was done in it, whatever, and Baruch Hashem, everything was mutter, nothing became asur. Why? Because one kli they forgot to put away carefully enough, and someone took it out by mistake. Instead of the Pesach tikkun one, they were both, you know, the same model, same brand. So, wise are the words of the Chachamim. They said we should put the kelim away and cover them over. And they were on the money. There's a second thought, and I believe this parallels. I did not have a chance to go back to the Ramban itself, but I believe in the Ramban indicates that this notion, in fact, parallels the din of Avodah Zorah. By Avodah Zorah is the din of Bittul. Bittul Avodah Zorah. I say, I renounce the need, the purpose of this Avodah Zorah. And that itself has the significance of the halacha, being the battle of Avodah Zorah. So this din of Bittul by Chametz is I renounce its significance. Now, In our text of the Bittul Chametz, we say something very interesting. The bottle will have a hefker ka'afra da'ara. Hefker, I understand, but what are we saying? That the bottle will have a hefker ka'afra da'ara. What's the bottle? The Pshat is an on Nusach, we incorporated both. We incorporated the Bittul, that it should be like dust of the earth, and Hefker. Hefker doesn't have to be like the dust of the earth. Hefker is Hefker, I don't want. But we incorporated both notions. Now, let me share with you a very fascinating halacha, which is found in Siman Tov Mem Ches. Counterintuitive to everything that we ever learned about Pesach. A Yid was Mevatel Chametz. So the halacha is he, and let's say he didn't do Bittul Bedikas Chametz, he just did Bittul Chametz. What's the din? Doesn't violate Bayerah Bayimotzi. Chametz Achara Pesach, the Easter of Chametz after Pesach ends. So there's a machlokes of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's an Easter deraisa. It's a lav, no less. To use chametz over a lav on Pesach is as much of a lav as possessing chametz on Pesach. And Rav Shimon says there's no iser la'achar Pesach. The only iser is a knas d'rabbanan. Since we violated the law, so they imposed the knas upon us, a penalty that we can't use chametz after Pesach. Fine. I was mafker on my chametz. I was mevatel, and I didn't believe Shalom. I have no question that I was 100% sincere. After Pesach, I come around and I find a piece of chametz that I was mevatel. What's the din of that chametz? It should be mutter. But I didn't violate by your Rabbi Yemotzi. But the Yerushalmi says that it's also bano, and it's cited in the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, since Bittul, it's the way I understand it, Bittul is a slippery slope. Biddle is not always so easy to achieve. You have 10 bottles of single malt whiskey in the closet. Nope, Kabbos Pesach. Not supposed to own it. Mr. Guy didn't show up, so I don't know if anyone to sell it to. So I'll be mevatel it. Okay. Well, you mevatel it, believe Shalom. It wasn't exactly 1,000%. So, and now we're still going around Klal Yisrael. You know, this guy's a big tzaddik. He was mevatel it 1,000%. This guy's not such a big tzaddik. He was 90%. This guy was 20%. You know, he's more concerned with getting it back after Pesach than getting rid of it on Pesach. So, Mamela, they said this is no good. If you just did Biddle Chametz, it's banned after Pesach. Osermana. It's a surprising halacha, not well known.
No,
you didn't do anything else. You didn't do, you know, if you did Bedikah, maybe you're an onus, and you didn't violate, but whatever, it's something else. You did beer, dealing with that. I just did Biddle Chametz. I didn't do beer on this piece, you know. Whatever, it could be if I wound up that I never threw it out, so I only did. We have a backup because we have a Mechiras Chametz. So whenever in the situation, even if I wasn't Bevayered, but at least I have the Mechiras Chametz, it wasn't mine, so in a clear cut sense. No. Now we have Mechiras Chametz. You know, Mechiras Chametz is a very mysterious process. People come to do this, sell the chametz to the rub. As if the rub is buying everybody's chametz for Pesach. I mean, the story, I don't know if it's apocryphal or true, about the reform rabbi that was Isaac and Mechiras chametz, so he came and everyone gave the chametz to him. And that's it. And he kept it till after Pesach, you know. That you have to do anything else with it, you know, that he, whatever, his seminary didn't tell him that part. So, in actuality, we don't sell chametz to the rov. All we do is we authorize the rov to be our agent. But the chametz is us, and then the chametz will ultimately go from our possession to the possession of the buyer of the chametz. But the Rav is merely the broker for this. He's a fancy broker. You know, there is, now in the halacha we find the following. That suppose there's someone in Dallas, Texas that owes me money. Now I don't have time to go to Dallas, Texas. So I see Chaim. Chaim is going next week to Dallas, Texas. So I go to Chaim. So listen, here's the guy's name. Call him up. And read of the Riot Act, and do me a favor and collect for me, you know. So he goes down to Dallas, Texas. And if I'm not careful, so what's going to happen? The guy's going to knock on the guy's door and say, "Who I never saw in your life. I'm representing Rabbi Welcher. You know, I'm taking you to the court, to the Beis Din. I want you to pay up. I'm suing you." Go to Beis Din. Say, "Lab Baldeborn the deal." So it's kind of rustic. I don't have nothing. I don't have anything to do with him. Do I owe him any money? No. So well, how can he take me to court? He has no standing to take me to court. You know, if the guy that claims that he's owed money comes, I'll have to go to Beis Din with him. But this Rostov, who is he? I don't know him anything. And he'll win. So what do I have to do? I have to do what's called to make a Hashoah. Hashoah is he makes a kinyan, which sort of, it's a fancy power of attorney in effect. But it gives him as if as if he were me. He's a baldin, he's a player now. He's sort of part of my company now, by having making a kinyan with the Harshal. So now he can represent me. Now he's seen as my right hand in Dallas. And the guy can no longer tell him Lav Baldivon the Diat. He has a Harshal? Okay, now I'm part of the company, dancing. So since Chametz, the sale of Chametz, we could actually do it by just calling up the Rav and asking the Rav to be an agent. And in actuality, if there are older people, for example, they're not well and they can't come to the Rav and they're in distant places, we rely upon that. But the Chatchila, we try to use Harsha, that the Kalman, you make a kinyan with the rove, which reinforces the rove's ability to represent you. Now, in Megillas Rus, Pasuk states, Sholof ish no'alo v'nosan ro'yeyim. A man took off his shoe and he gave it to his friend. And that's how they settled up the matters of the estate of Machlon and Chilion, with Boaz. Now there's a dispute in the Gemara, which is somewhat of the problem when you have a sentence with all pronouns. Sholof ish no'alo v'nosan ro'yeyim. Who was ish? And the consequently, who's Na'alai? Was it? And who's Re'ayim? So, it's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel in the Gemara. Is the pshat that Sholof ish Na'alo, that the one that was Ploni Almoni took off his shoe and he gave his shoe to Boaz as a means of closing the deal? Or does Sholof ish Na'alo go on Boaz? Since he was acquiring something, he's the one that took off his shoe and gave it to Ploni Almoni. And that's a machlokes in the Gemara.
That's how you make the kinyan. So I make the kinyan as the one who does the kinyan as gives you something. Because the Rav has to give you his pen.
So the question is, so that's a machlokes in the Gemara. We paskin like Haman the Omar, that the one that's acquiring it is the one that gives his shoe or his pen or his key, whatever, some utensil that he owns. So that's the way we pass it, in fact. So the Rav, who's really acquiring the power of attorney, so he has to give his pen. According to Shmuel, you'd have to give the Rav your pen to pass the power of attorney to him. The Gemara does pass it in the Dor, that when something's given for the sake of a kinyan, it's self-understood, it's only a manas lahaknas. It's only given for the formal purpose of making a kinyan. But after the kinyan is made, you have to give it back. You can't keep it. You can't say, okay, you know, this pen looks like a nice pen, I can use it, thanks, Ralph, you know. I go home, you know. So the Gemara in the Dorm says you can't do that. It's understood to be on Manas Lahakmas, it's only for the purpose of the kinyan. After that, they have to return it. So in effect, that notion is a notion that's a barter notion. It's a barter. That the kinyan, the one that's acquiring, gives something to the makna, and the makna gives him something, they're bartering.
But then how can somebody else do it? If I do it for somebody at work, do it for the Rav, I don't have the Rav's pen.
It doesn't make a difference because you're in effect, you're being my shliach. Since I'm receiving something, you can be my shliach without my permission. Now, that's step one. Now, if we just stopped at that point and went home, so everybody would violate by your Rav, by your Motzi. Because nobody got rid of their chametz yet. I'm merely now the authorized agent for the sale of your chametz, which leads us to the sale itself.
In this case of the machira, that we have to make the rough power of attorney. Why are we doing that? In the parallel case of the person in Dallas, Texas, you have to have a harsha.
Yeah.
Because I have.
Because you're dealing with you. The reason that we do it here is because since the whole situation appears to be nothing more than a legal fiction, so we do everything surrounding it to strengthen it to the max. Yeah. So the question is this a reality or is this a legal fiction? It's real or not? Yeah. The question we can ask in two different ways, depending on which era we live in. In the classical Mechiras Chometz, the first one apparently that was used, 100, 200 years back or so. What they did was, who had chametz for Pesach? Most people didn't, when there's no refrigeration, who owned chametz anyhow? You know, chametz wasn't much of a problem. The guy that really had chametz, you know, more than a few crumbs of chametz, was the guy that owned the brewery. He owned the brewery, he had massive amounts of chametz. And he had all types of whiskey and beer that was fermenting. He couldn't exactly, you know, close down, you know, for a month. 3 months before the Yontif, and can start up 3 months after the Yontif, you got to still run a business. So if you own the brewery, you have chametz to the shamayim. So what did they do? So in the time of the Achronim, what they used to do was the following. The Yid would find the non-Jew of his acquaintance, and he'd sell him the whole brewery for one ruble. Now, it was nowhere near the price of the brewery. But for one ruble, it wasn't a big investment for the non-Jew. It was easy to get the non-Jew to cut the deal. Now, so there was a whole question. Well, is this guy really sincere? He has $10,000, $25,000 of stuff in his brewery. And he gave it away for $1? What are going to happen after Pesach when the guy decides to tell him, I decided to keep it, I'm not giving it back? Will the guy survive the day or kill over? So is he really sincere in the sale or not? So the Achronim concluded that the sale is a sincere sale. Nevertheless, why? Since the Yid is a Yorosh Hamayim, and he doesn't, sincerely does not want to violate Bayero Bayimotze, and this is his soul means of getting rid of the Chavetz, so he's willing to do it. Even though, under the worst case scenario, he may take a heavy financial loss, but he still doesn't want to be over the love of the Torah. He hopes he won't take such a financial loss, but even if he does, he wants to go through with the sale. As time went on, this mechira evolved into the form that we use today. We use a different form of mechira. What we do is the following. At the time of the sale, we merely take a down payment on the chametz from the non-Jew. And the rest, we say, is due after Pesach. Yeah. He has a choice after Pesach. He can sell the chametz back to me if he wants. That's his choice. Or he can decide he wants to keep the chametz. If he wants to keep the chametz, so in the Shtar Mechira, it states that we will call a professional assessor or assessors, and they will assess the value of the chametz, and it has to pay 100 cents on the dollar according to the value of the chametz. Whatever my half a box of cornflakes is worth, it's the favorite, you know, a box of noodles, whatever. Some cookies, a cake, a challah, whatever, we'll have to pay. That'll be his problem what to do with it, but that's it. So I guess he'll be in the closeout business, you know, if he goes through with this deal. So, in that sense, we ameliorated the problem of Haramah from one side, because I no longer have a reason to be concerned about the Bechira. I'm going to lose anything at all. What's going to listen? He wants, he's welcome to come and take every piece of chametz from me. I have no problem. I'm going to get back 100 cents on the dollar. So he wants old chametz and I'll get fresh chametz. I have no problem at all. He's welcome. Come any day, come whenever you want. It's fine by me.
What's the issue to say there is Istanbul of Shalom in the Mechira part? Because of Mechira.
Well, the question is,
money exchanges hands.
Is it the question? That's part of the issue. The question is it so fluky that nobody thinks it's for real? That's the question.
No one would do it.
Yep, it's not a reasonable proposition. Now, from our side, at least, we have less reason to be concerned about the Haram Shabbat.
Why would the guy want to buy it at 100 cents on a dollar? Not any discount at all. In fact, it's old chametz, as the Rav says.
So. Whatever, the old chametz has its, according to what the value of old chametz is. You're not going to pay for new chametz, pay for old chametz. Now, the actual Mechira, very few people have ever seen. The actual Mechira takes place within the Mishnah states, Euchlin Kol Arba, Metoilin Kol Chomish, Besorf Metchila Shish. An Erev Pesach, that one Re'il Chometz until the end of the fourth hour of the day, which means till the end of this month's Tefillah, Euchlin Kol Arba, Metoilin Kol Chomish, and the fifth hour of the day, meaning the hour, 1/12 of the day after Zman Tefillah, one may still possess chametz, and if kila sheish, the beginning of the sixth hour of the day, chametz becomes asur b'hana. So in between that time and that hour, in between the time that the chametz becomes asur b'achila and asur b'hana, is that's the window in which the mechiras chametz takes place, exactly in that hour. And that's not usually Erev Pesach. Most people are not running around worrying how to do Mecheres Chametz. They're trying to figure out how to put the Chametz away and how to prepare for the Seder and whatever else they have to do Erev Yom Tov. So very few people have ever actually witnessed the Mecheres Chametz. Back in the years I lived in Kenasi, I guess I somehow imagined that sometime I might be responsible for this. So I remember going to participate, to observe the Mechiras Chametz, which was done that time by Rabbi Ramon Flatbush, and it was conducted by Shlomo Druman, Zechut Tzadik Livracha, who later was a Rambam in Yeshiva University. So that was the first time that I personally actually witnessed the Mechira, how the Mechira took place. Now, let me describe a little bit of what the Mechira is about. The question is, the real way to do this would be to, we should do it, imagine your kids are going to camp. But instead of going to camp in July, so they'll go to camp in April. So you'll gather all your chametz and pack it up in a few boxes and put your name on it. And then you'll wait all day to a couple of days before Yom Tov. They'll come with this big tractor trailer and load your chametz up, put it in there, go around from house to house and collect everybody's chametz and drive off with it. That would be the way to do Mechiras chametz. Then there wouldn't be any shyness. They're going to possession of the chametz and went away with it, and that's it, finished, you know, no question as to what has taken place, that the Mechira took place. But it was rather unwieldy to do this. You know, if everybody's going to pack up his chametz, then we'll have to load up the chametz from the house, and if the guy decides to sell it back after Yom Tov, we'll have to drive around another few days, you know, to bring it back again. So this is not a very practical way of running Mechiras chametz. So we needed to figure out how to do the Mechira with the chametz in place, without moving the Mechira. Beyond the Mechira of the Chametz itself, the second problem that we have is that even if I don't own the Chametz, if the Chametz belongs to the non-Jew, as I mentioned earlier in the shir, nevertheless, it may not be in my possession, on my property. So even if I actually succeeded in selling all the Chametz to the non-Jew and I had it on my property, I'd also have a problem. So the first thing that we have to do is to transfer the property to the non-Jew. Once the property is transferred to the non-Jew, then it's easy to transfer, much easier to transfer the chametz there. So what we do is we rent him. We rent in all the places that the chametz is found. And therefore, the chametz is now on his property. If it's on his property, well, one of the possibilities we could use kinyan chotzer. Kinyan chotzer means that anything that's on my property, I can acquire. So since he now has the right to use all the places where the chametz is found, so he can acquire it through kinyan chotzer. However, that may not work, because maybe kinyan chotzer doesn't help my knowledge, although it's less than clear in that regard. Well, we could do something else. We could do a kinyan agav. Agav means if I sold a person a house and a bicycle, and he made a kinyan in the house, he can be kind of a bicycle even if the bicycle is someplace else. So what I can do is I can rent him property, and when he acquires that rental of the property, he acquires all the chametz with kinyan agav. There is a dispute which is the principal kinyan of a non-Jew. Kesef or Mashiach, or taking possession. If it's Kesef, so give him some money. That's easy enough to do. If it's Mashiach, then we're back to the, he has to go around with his truck to everybody's house and take the chametz away. Not a very unwieldy process. Now, we use also the Kinyan Chalipin that the Rav uses with you, that you should appoint him your agent for the chametz. We now turn around, and the non-Jew gives his pen or his keys to the Rav and acquires the chametz through Chalipin too. So we've used Chotzer, we've used Agav, we've used Kesef. Now, we don't stop at that point. We use Kinyan Shtar. It's on a Shtar, and we give him a Shtar, a bill of sale. And perhaps that's a Kinyan from a Talmud and a bill of sale. And then finally, we have a halacha which is very well known, but as Moses and most well known halachas, they usually know in the wrong way. And there's a famous Rishalmi, and the Rishalmi says that minig is oikar halacha, that minig supersedes halacha. And the meaning of this Rishalmi, it's not a general statement. Generally, halacha supersedes minig. Which is the reason that they attribute to the Shlo a statement that Minig is Oisiyas Gehenim.
What?
Oisiyas Gehenim.
Oh.
It's attributed to the Shlo. But Minig Oikar Halacha, that the Minig, common practice, supersedes the Halacha with regards to Kinyon in many moments. How to acquire, according to the Halacha, that whatever is commonly accepted as a Kinyon is Halacha to be recognized as a Kinyon. Now, it's not limited to the halacha. Since in business, a handshake is recognized as a form of kinyan, so we make a handshake too. So this is part of the process, a brief description of the process of the actual mechira. Now, what you have to do is you have to book an appointment with the goy to come back and the motzei Pesach to write a chametz back for him if he doesn't want to go through with the deal. So I've had trouble the last year and this year that the guy that I want to use has decided he works for a Jew. And he decided that he wants to go on vacation when he's off. The Jewish boss closes the business for a week, so this is an ideal time for him to take vacation. So at Achron Shal Pesach, he's busy, you know, at a Stigalfer someplace else, not in New York State. So, you know, he had to change goyim last year for this reason, you know. What?
Before
Yontif, not after Yontif.
You found out.
No, he told me before. I asked him again this year. I've asked the guy already. He told me he's a very responsible fellow. I'd like to deal with him. And he told me, listen, Rabbi, I'm not going to be around. And he did the final day. I'm out of town on vacation. So I have to arrange for a different guy to show up this year. Okay, Rabbi.
Go ahead.
Rabbi, Louis Rothstein underwent successfully a kidney transplant yesterday. He's Baruch Hashem, very good signs in his progress. He's in North Shore Hospital.